powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 1 Peter 4, verse 7. We're into the 1 Peter 4, 7. All right, let's take the customary time to make the usual preparation for the intake of Bible doctrine. It is your responsibility as a believer to be here. It is your responsibility to be here spiritually, that is, in fellowship and ready to concentrate on the information that we have for you this evening. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We thank you that our faith in Christ has overcome the cosmos. We thank you for this opportunity to be able to assemble another time and hear the word of God and be encouraged and oriented to the plan that we are so privileged to be a part of. In Christ's name, amen. This section here deals with the modus operandi as the end approaches. This is an announcement and a call. Peter, writing to these believers, he informs them in these headlines, the end of all things is at hand. Now, you might take criticism of that, since this was written in the latter part, or in the middle part somewhere, of the first century A.D. So how can he say the end of all things is at hand? Well, let me explain. With the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Satan's plan to thwart the incarnation failed, as we would expect it to. And so this is the strategic victory of the angelic conflict. The things that have to develop in the meantime, through the course of human history, in order for the end to be a reality in the coming of the Lord, there are things that had to be in place. Of course, when this was written, it was centuries and centuries before the United States of America even became a nation. And it is a big player and a big part of the prophetic puzzle. There are other things as well that had to be in place. No national Israel. No coming of the Lord. Israel had to be reborn as a nation, because obviously that's the big focal point of the tribulation. Israel in the land. And other things had to be in place. All the details had to develop. Not to mention that all that God foreknew who would come to saving faith and make up the church had to be born and born again, had to come on the scene. And there's still obviously some yet that will come to salvation. I'm sure that there are those who come to salvation every day on this earth. So, it is, and even for those who came before us as believers, who lived and passed on, they have to treat it like that, because the end of their life, that is the end of their phase two, and they want, and the idea is to complete your time on earth, which is given to each person under the sovereignty of God, to end their life an adjusted believer, a growing believer, locked in with Bible doctrine. So, this is the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, in light of that, be of sound judgment. Sound judgment. Where do you get that? It's a result of getting your priorities straight and understanding the importance of Bible doctrine, and you availing yourself of that environment where you can continue to grow in spiritually, i.e. the local church, the classroom of Christianity, and not start getting caught up in all the things out there that people get caught up in, making excuses why I can't be here. Now, there are excuses. Obviously, we don't want you here if you're real sick. But making this your priority and not, you know, playing hooky, as they used to say, and missing for the wrong reasons. I've had people who come here and I almost shudder. I know that they are suffering physically, but they summoned up their strength and made it here to be in Bible class under face-to-face teaching. So sound judgment is just that, being of sound judgment and sober, spiritually sober, not intoxicated by the things of the world and the pursuits of the cosmos that have the vast majority of Christians caught up in it. They are caught up in the wrong things. So, sobriety for the purpose of prayers, keeping that as a part of your agenda as a believer. Okay. In regards to what we were looking at here on page 12, the end of all things is at hand. The end of all things in the verse, point 16 on page 12, all things in the verse stands in the emphatic position up front. The cosmos as we know it moves ever closer to the end game. And we, who are a part of the rapture generation, defined by two events, the rebirth of Israel and the rapture, that generation, you can do the math, 1948 to 2024. It was in May of that year they officially became a nation once again. Very impressive that the chosen people who went awry, astray, big time, still exist as Jews, scattered in all the nations, and are coming back. That's why they're being shook up today with all this anti-Semitism in the nations. They need to get back to Israel. Well, they need to get saved. But for most of them that are, when there's this big turnaround among the Jewish people in Israel and outside Israel, when they, the lights go on and they realize that their ancestors repudiated their Messiah, their Jewish Messiah, and realize the true way of salvation, it's going to be a dynamic, a very special dynamic that will play out after the rapture. And I think a lot of them are going to come out of the United States, because this is, if not the largest, one of the largest populations of Jews are in these United States. Many of them migrated here due to persecution and problems in other Gentile nations. They came across, got citizenship, but now, I gave you the documentation. Then God, who scattered them, no shepherd scatters his sheep, but this is a righteous scattering. He scattered them. They dropped the ball in the land when they turned away corporately, some wonderful exceptions like the 12 apostles, they turned away from their true Messiah, repudiated him, persecuted his followers, the early church and on, and remained in this Judaism religion. Not all of them are there's all kinds of Jews out there in all kinds of different things, but they are now being brought back to the land and have been. And it's in the prophet that I'm going to bring you back, not for any righteousness in you, See, the Jews had under their law, if they got kicked out of the land in the extreme, they could turn to the Lord and repent of their evil that got them all kicked out, and God would restore them to the land. That quick. It's like racial rebound. Turning away from that. And it happened one time when they came out of Babylon after 70 years and started the second commonwealth, second national experiment, if you will. Then they got kicked out in 70 AD by the Romans. This was prophesied by Daniel and echoed by Jesus, that this was going to happen to them. But now they're coming back and so that God can stick it to all these people who badmouth and continue to depreciate the Abrahamic covenant with its land grant. For a Jew to benefit from that, one, they have to be a believer. Two, they have to be a part of the dispensation of the age of Israel. Jews in this dispensation are a part of the church with its destiny and its privileges. But Jews in the age of Israel. So when we're raptured, the Jewish age will start up again. There's 7 years that are tacked on down here, and in between is this parenthesis called the church age, hidden from previous generations. So Jews in the church age, there's neither Jew nor Greek, Jew or Gentile. We're a new race. We're a new people. We're a new category. Think like that. Sure, you might be Irish, you might be Asian, you might be whatever. That's irrelevant in the sense that you are a part of this new nation and this new race. Okay. So, with the fact that we're in the, and I truly believe, the waning moments of the rapture generation, the things that are going on in the world and the things that are coming together, this deal with the United States and Russia. This required the fall of the Soviet Union. They were in no position then to take us down. But they are now. Then this mark of the beast thing, a special technology that only in recent times is on the drawing board, and they're working with it. It took me a while to figure that one out. You take the mark of the beast in the trib, you're told up front, don't take it or you're doomed. So it isn't a tattoo. And it isn't a chip so they can follow you around, know what you're doing. It's hacking volition. It's got to be. It's the only thing I can conclude. So this advanced type of technology is on the launching pad or close to it. So those who take the mark, unsaved types, then of course they got to ferret out, some believer that wants to, you can't buy and sell in Europe, because that the focus that will become Europe, and not totally, but it will become a major focus with the rise of the Antichrist, and all this Alexander stuff that's all over the place. Now you're not going to get it on TV unless you get a special program. But it's all over the place. The search for Alexander and the interest in him as the greatest conqueror and ruler of the ancient world. Well, he's going to beat his match in Jesus Christ at the second advent. But in the meantime, he is going to go on a rampage that is going to mimic his rapid conquest from age 20 when he took over. Age 20. He took over. And in three significant battles, he toppled the great Persian Empire. And he died at age 32 of mysterious causes. They all debated in Babylon. I can take my pick. I think he was poisoned. But I don't know. I mean, they say he died of this and that. Okay, maybe. We'll see. But they're searching for his bones, his sarcophagus. He was buried Egyptian style. He went to Egypt, and they made him an honorary pharaoh. They're very impressed with him. He didn't have to conquer Egypt. He had to conquer Tyre, T-Y-R-E. It's an island. And they had a great commercial kingdom, and they were on the high seas, and they were wealthy as they could be, this island. Well, they thought they could hold him off indefinitely. But he built a ramp thing and got to the city. It was a major feat. They did it. So these are the kind of things that are very encouraging to me. And you can look around and see all the signs. The birth pains for the human race. Wars, all kinds of wars and revolutions and uprisings. Even in this country with these protests and crazies that are out there. A bunch of these climate activists attacked a golf game. A professional golf out there. They ran out their spray and stuff and everything. And they're a part of a specific organization and justification that you can do all kinds of violence, do whatever you want to do to get out in the public eye. Same with the pro-Hamas idiots. And then all this other stuff. And then look at our weather this year. Have you ever seen anything like it? Massive tornadoes. Iowa with the dam breaking and coming down that river out of South Dakota. Wipe on these towns. You see all these, just the roofs of all these cars. The heat dome. And they're expecting a big hurricane season. We'll see. Texas has been hammered with heat and water. You're out there listening. Well, you know what? You can hear this. You figure out what you need to do. You need to hook up with Sound Doctrine. So, you know, I've had outside here. Christian, don't you think it's the last days? Yeah, the last of the last. The party's over. The kingdom of God is on the horizon. It is going to replace all the kingdoms of this earth and set up a new world order in which righteousness will be the norm. And the world will experience in that reign a level of prosperity it has never seen before. There will be no wars. Criminal offenses of high order, they'll be executed. It's the rule of the rod of iron, because the people going into that survive the trib as believers and enter the kingdom prepared for them before the foundation of the world will start up a new civilizations and nations. They'll fan out. It'll look slow at first, but God will bless them and they will build nations on the ruins of what's left behind. Every capital city leveled. One earthquake. That's late in the trib. All the mountains knocked down. You can't even wrap your head around this, though it's in your Bible and needs to be taught. So, in regards to this, just a second here. Sorry about that. So, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayers. You better devote yourself to prayers here at the end. So, the cosmos as we know it moves ever closer to the end. All things, point 18, encompasses the present order that features all that is alien to the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, there will be no false science. There will be no false religions. There won't even be any demons or Satan on the earth doing their stuff. Because they will be incarcerated for the 1,000 years. The kingdom of God will supplant all the kingdoms of this world, ushering in the righteous new world order, as we were noted in Daniel 2, 34 and 35. There in the vision, the night vision, of Nebuchadnezzar, and one Daniel interpreted it for him, told him what it was, and gave him the interpretation. The image has these kingdoms all the way in antiquity from Babylon forward, and it comes down to the feet of iron and clay. Some of the kingdom, this is the kingdom of Alexander Revisited. See, he's in number three here, the bronze part. But he's coming back, and the dream of a revived Roman Empire of sorts will be realized. And he will rule and have over 10 European nations. Certainly Greece is involved, his home country. And he will pull these armies together and go out on conquest and do like he did back the first time. He will overrun one of them after another. None of these long, drawn-out affairs. And the whole world will be excited of who can make war with the beast. Well, we have the answer to that. Christ at the second advent. I think, he won't tolerate any other religion. That goes against all the grain today, doesn't it? He will tolerate no other religion. Christian, non-Christian, pseudo-Christian, Muslim, none of it. He declares himself eventually to be God. He flirted with that in his first go-around. So in that, what I had here, in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed, and that kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush and put an end to all these kingdoms, but it'll endure forever. Of course, there's one phase of it. It's 1,000 years. That's not forever. It's a long time. It's not forever. But it'll move over into the eternal new earth condition. And Christ is referred to under the figure of a stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands, and it crushed the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, the gold. The great God has made known to the king what will take place in the future so that the dream is true and its interpretation is trustworthy. Nebuchadnezzar was apparently appreciative of this. He did homage to Daniel, gave orders to present him an offering and fragrant incense. And he said to Daniel, see, Nebuchadnezzar's coming along spiritually here. He's not a believer yet. Surely your God is a God of gods, and the Lord of lords, and a revealer of mysteries, since you've been able to reveal this mystery. The king promoted Daniel, gave him many great gifts, and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and chief prefect over all the wise men of Babylon. Daniel gets promoted in a pagan society only because he was faithful to God and said what he had to do. This teenager. Upper teens, but a teenager. That's the dynamic of Daniel. He was going to serve God in captivity. And yet, did he ever? And Daniel didn't forget his friends. He had a request. And Daniel made a request to the king, and he appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the administration of the province of Babylon while Daniel was in the king's court. He just shot him up to the top and his three friends, his three positive Jewish friends about his same age. This is a dynamic story of a young man who was drug off into captivity, you would think oblivion, thrown into all this with captives of his kind, because they just picked the intelligent, attractive, certain ones, and they wanted them in their court. And Daniel made the most of it. Did he ever? The millennial kingdom, point 20, phase of the kingdom will be immediately preceded by catastrophic judgments upon all aspects of human life, resulting in the eradication of the wicked and their works from the face of the earth. The Antichrist is going to take down the Catholic Church. That's almost unbelievable, isn't it? In Europe, he's going to take it out. The Vatican, all their cathedrals, all the wealth they've got squirreled away. People say underneath the Vatican, there's all kinds of gold. He's going to take it. And he's going to bring that whole organization down. Read all about it in Revelation 17. The Catholic Church is going to get its comeuppance. The big, fake Christian monstrosity with all the stuff it's pulled through the centuries. And so at odds with Scripture, it isn't even funny. Plus, this church in its history has martyred many legitimate Christians. And they're in bed, and the church has always been in bed with the rulers. No separation of church and state. Rulers had to go down and kowtow to get permission to marry somebody or do something. Yeah, there were some that revolted against it in the Protestant group, because they believed that church was their way of salvation, and they had to be in good standings with it. And to this day, they have representatives in the various capital cities. It's a monstrosity. Doctrinally and every other way. So out of touch with the church as it's portrayed in the New Testament. The millennial phase of the kingdom will be transmuted into the eternal state, which will feature a new creation in which all the old things will forever be eradicated. Death, sin, and the rest of it. We'll get to that in 1 Peter 3:10. Peter's purpose here is to state a reality. 23, the present order of things will come to an end. And so, Christians must be prepared for what follows. The announcement that the inevitable event is at hand, or has drawn near, is similar to the proclamation of John the Baptist, Matthew 3:2, and Jesus, that the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, when we deal with the kingdom of God, you have the overt kingdom, a system of rule. But whenever you have doctrine being proclaimed, as with John the Baptist and Jesus, for the individual who hears this, the gospel and information, for them, the kingdom of God is at hand. What are you going to do to become a citizen of it? That's the point. The kingdom of God, where the gospel is proclaimed, is at hand. And when I teach you doctrine, and I teach you about God's plan for your life, then the kingdom of God is being presented to you. Your conduct, your behavior, your priorities, all of it is being communicated to you. So, and Jesus, that the kingdom of God is at hand. Hence, the call to repent and believe for the unsaved. Peter's adoption of this expression is from the gospel tradition and corresponds to James 5, verse 8. You too be patient. Strengthen your hearts. For the coming of the Lord is near. And then he gives practical advice. Don't complain against one another. Etc., etc. Because there's always the practical side of this kingdom of God. The Bible also says the kingdom of God is within you. In the person of God, the Holy Spirit, and the Bible doctrine in your soul, the kingdom of God is in you. Cherish it. Embrace it. Live under it. Think about it. Every day, you and I can make a contribution to something that is in line with the kingdom of God by being in fellowship, by praying, by making our applications, and functioning under our spiritual gifts, once we figure out what your spiritual gift might be. Every morning, get up. I'm going to serve God and the kingdom of God on earth. All these nations built all these kingdoms. I've read about a lot. Then they they went by the wayside. These monarchies, these kings, European and otherwise, they built these big kingdoms. They went down. God pulled the plug on them. A lot of them become extremely corrupt because they didn't build, a lot of them, there might be some exceptions, but they didn't build these things on righteous principles. They were out to land grab, get whatever they could, hold power. You ought to see, you read about the lives of some of these people and what they devoted themselves to. For power, for money. Constantly wars are going on, didn't need to occur. All these people dying. European history. The wars between so and so and so and so, back and forth, constantly, and all the way down to our present time. Wars and rumors of wars. Manipulated by people who want land, who want this. Of course, our country's been at the forefront of that too. From at least the Spanish-American War. Contrived. And all these patriots go out, yeah. Remember the Maine. Yeah, I remember it. According to the History Channel. It was blown up in the Havana Harbor from the inside out. They got it off the bottom of the harbor there. Well, a landmine didn't do that. I mean, a water mine didn't do that. These are the things you got to know. Okay, it isn't any fun to find out maybe that we did this, but we did. So the meaning the end is near means we don't have any time to squander. 28, no matter how far or near end time events are, each believer should view the call in terms of his or her uncertain future. By uncertain, I mean you don't know when God's going to call you home and you're going to check out. Well, I first want to do that. No, that's the mistake. I want to be in God's will. I don't want to be caught up in things that are temporal, that everybody's going to forget about. Even if you got super famous, big deal. I've read about the super famous, pick a category, sports. Where are these guys now? Oh, they're in a Hall of Fame. That's it. A lot of them are dead. And they didn't commend themselves to God. Now some were believers and unbelievers. Caught up in, because they got this great physical talent. Today we are very close indeed, making the call all the more urgent. The verb is at hand is a perfect active indicative of engizo, meaning to draw near or approach. It is used in this form 14 times. Matthew 3:2, the kingdom of God is at hand. The similar, 4:17, repent, that means change your mind. Speaking to the audience of the Jews, change your mind, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Matthew 10:7, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. 26:45, behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Matthew 26:46, behold, the one who betrays me is at hand. That's Judas, of course. Luke 10:9, the kingdom of God has come near you, in the form of doctrine and the person of Christ and so forth. Luke 10:11, even he's telling his disciples, when you go to a particular town and they repudiate you 100%, here's what you do. You go in there with the gospel. You're telling a bunch of Jews that they need to repent and give up on their works program, and here's the way of salvation. Here's what you do if a town rejects you. The time is fulfilled. I'm sorry. I'm going to give this. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. So that defines that. Mark 14:42, the one who betrays me at hand, the kingdom of God is at hand. Okay, now back to this one. Luke 10:11, even the dust of the city which clings to our feet, wipe off in protest against you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is drawn near. Luke 21:8, see to it that you not be misled. For many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and the time is near. Do not go after them. Luke 21:20. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then recognize that her desolation is at hand. He's telling the believers on earth at his day, when you're alive, and when you see the Roman armies, you know that the desolation of Jerusalem is at hand, and it's time for you to relocate. You'll be given a window of opportunity. Oh, it's not convenient. Oh, this is where I was raised. Blah, blah, blah. And I got to go out there and start over in a Gentile world. Okay, or stay there and let the Romans ravage you. Or be in the will of God and go somewhere else. And that's what he's giving them, believers, a heads up. When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then recognize that her desolation is at hand. Romans 13:12. The night is almost gone. This is the rule of Satan as the god of this world, and we're into the night. The nighttime. Darkness, spiritual, everywhere. The night is almost gone, and the day is near. That's the day of the Lord. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. We're in a spiritual warfare. I know it very well. The pressures that are out there. All the negative volition. But you put your spiritual armor on and you can overcome this. James 5:8. You too, be patient. Establish your hearts. For the coming of the Lord is near. 1 Peter 4:7. The end of all things is at hand. Jesus Christ's appearance on the historical scene has cleared the way for the day of the Lord when all things will give way to the new creation. 35. So in light of the impending cessation of the old order of things, believers are exhorted to mental alertness and clear thinking, which some around here did not abide by. Or they'd still be with us. The first aorist imperative, be of sound judgment, means to be serious-minded or think sensibly. 37. This can only be done when divine viewpoint is in one's frame of reference. 38. To be in one's right mind is to follow a course of action that is in accord with the established and recognized facts. 39. A serious-minded person is the one who follows not his emotions, but a set of rules that have been proven to work. And on a human level, this works. This is how you do this. This is how you become successful in this. And you build on that, and you go with that, and you should do well. This Bible doctrine gives us the roadmap we are to follow. And insofar as we adhere to the commandments and doctrinal precepts, we can be said to be sound thinkers. But you've got to think doctrinally about stuff. And all these things put before you so that your emotions aren't driving you. You're your STA. That won't work. Well, I just feel. No. So we must think clearly or keep our heads, lest we drift off course from the grace to be brought to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ back in 1 Peter 1:13. The second aorist imperative, be sober, suggests that we are to remain out from under the STA and its lusts, which is the usual reason believers go astray. Look at them. They want this. They want to marry this person. And this person isn't positive. They want to engage in certain types of activities that keep them from Bible class. Associate with the wrong kind of people that cannot encourage and build them up spiritually. You don't sit around and say, well, there's no one else my age. What's that got to do with anything? We got examples in the Bible of young people like Daniel in their youth and others who latched onto this. So, there's plenty of influences out there to drag you down spiritually. And within your own self, your STA. When the STA and the emotions are ruling the soul, the believer is spiritually inebriated. 45. Peter's intention here is to bring his readers to a mental state that is conducive to prayer. Prayer. The phrase "for the purpose of prayers" is linked to both verbs. Alertness and watchfulness in prayer are common New Testament warnings. Stay alert in prayer. Matthew 14:38, Mark 14:38, and Matthew 26:41. Alert and clear-headed prayer is a key ingredient in overcoming evil. Deliver us from evil. If it doesn't sound right, it's probably because it isn't. Prayer is indispensable in our spiritual warfare and could be the explanation as to why some believers have gone down spiritually. They did not keep their prayer time up and going. We can always improve in it. Praying for the right things. Prayer is indispensable in our spiritual warfare and meeting trials associated with the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. In conclusion, before I conclude with prayer, there's a 50-50 chance we may not have class tomorrow due to the heat, but I'll play it by ear, okay? I mean, when it's 103 and the heat index is 110 or 8 or whatever, that's pretty hot, and we're having people coming out in their vehicles and stuff, so I won't say anything right now. I'll monitor it tomorrow. I just want to give you a heads up so that if you have any questions and you're not on our text deal, you can call someone else and say, if you know somebody, tell them, you know, so they don't come out here unnecessarily. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.